Heavenly Father, we do just come before you with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the times that we've been going through. We know, Lord, that it is by your mercy that we endure these things. Lord, I pray that you would give comfort to those who need comfort, encouragement to those who need encouragement. And Lord, as we all need these things, I pray, Father, that we would glorify you, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of adverse circumstances, Lord. I pray that your praise would be continually on our mouth, that the thoughts of our hearts would be to glorify you. Oh, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just help us from being distracted from the things of this world, the things that the world holds before us as desirable. I pray, Father, that we would always remember that these things are going to pass away, and all of the glory of them are going to pass away, but you will endure forever, and you are our inheritance, and you are our righteousness, and you have called us. So, Lord, have your way with us. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And let's see. Pick it up about, verse 5. You know, we covered all of these things, but to keep the continuity going, to show, you know, what it is that the Lord is trying to convey to us here. Sometimes we look at our lives and we think, man, I got to get my life together. You see it on the TVs all the time. You know, hey, go to this school and then you can get a degree in this and that and the other thing. And then you can improve your life. You. You can do it. You can do it. You can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You know, that whole thought about that, you know, I just try to envision that. You're not going to go anywhere. So, you know, what is it that the Lord is calling us to? What is it that the Lord wants from us? You know, yeah, okay, we heard about the good news of Jesus Christ. We accepted his provision, but what does that really mean to us? How is it that we're supposed to act? Well, let's look at the example. And I find it so neat that Paul would sit there and give us a whole synopsis of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is it in a nutshell. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now with those things, right there, it shows what it is that we were. We were proud in the things that we were doing. We were proud in the way that we were going in our lives until we heard the word of God and we realized that, hey, you know what? Sin is plaguing me. Sin is what's really stopping me from enjoying this life. And this, my friends, is a gift from God. Not allowing you to be comfortable, not allowing you to find satisfaction or to be happy in this world. So that when the good news came that your guilt and your sin can be forgiven, you jumped at it. It was all part of God's plan, God's purposes. Now, some of us had to go through some really heavy-duty things before we were, you know, really ready to hear this. Yea, God called us from the foundation of the world, but he prepped us. From the day that we were born, he prepped us with circumstances, with the people that came into our lives. Sometimes these things were very adverse. Sometimes we suffered many, many abuses from people. And this is just the way that God's plan was. This is what we needed to come to that point to when we heard the word, then we would just respond because this is what we needed. The Holy Spirit would prompt us, would give us life to be able to hear the word. If you go through Matthew chapter 13, you see the parable of the soils and how the seed, the word of God, fell on different parts of soil. But the good soil received it, and it bore fruit. And you, as our testament here today, that the seed fell upon good soil. Your heart was ready. The ground was plowed. It was ready to be receiving of that seed. Now, sometimes that seed fell on our hearts when we had, you know, rocky soil. Or when we had cares of this world. But the circumstances of our life brought us to this point. And so we see Jesus, who is God. Jesus, who is God. He came down to this earth. He made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant. This is kind of fascinating to me because I always picture this as God coming down and then putting on a suit, you know, of clothing there. He took on flesh and dwelt among us. He took on flesh. He wore this suit. And he found himself in the likeness of men. Now, he could have boasted. He could have said, hey, man, I am God. And I can do all things. And I've come down here to save you. But no, he came down here to be an example of what we ought to do. Even though he was God, and some of us, maybe we hold high stature somewhere. In our own mind, perhaps. But sometimes we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But the Lord says that he was found in fashion as a man, as we are found in that same fashion, and he humbled himself. He had much to boast about. He could claim that he would have conversation with God because he was God. He could have conversation with the Father. He knew no sin, and yet, even though he knew no sin, he could still do what it is that he would have us to do. And to humble ourselves. How did he humble himself? Well, we think, well, he humbled himself by hanging out with mortal men. But that's not it at all. It was found in the Gospels when Jesus would spend all night in prayer to the Father. That's the humbling part. You see, this is what he was trying to teach us. That he, even though he was God, coming down in flesh, still needed to spend that time in prayer to the Father. To show us this is what we need to do. Now remember when he was in Gethsemane? He says, you guys, okay, you three. You know, he takes Peter, James, and John. He says, you guys sit here. I'm going to go off yonder and pray. And so he went off and pray, and what happened to them? They went to sleep. And Jesus come back. Oh, couldn't you watch with just 1 hour? And we even have hymns to that, don't we? It's the sweet hour of prayer. Jesus spent all night in prayer. He spent all night in prayer and then ministered the next day. It doesn't say where he took a break, he took a nap or something like that, unless it was in the boat, but that was for another purpose. But when he chose his disciples, he was all night in prayer to the Father, humbling himself. And that's what we do. We humble ourselves. Now, conversely, when we worry about things, we lose sleep. Oh, we toss and turn in our bed. Oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And you see, we're trying to do it ourselves instead of trusting in the Lord. The Bible tells us that he gives his beloved sleep. So when you can't sleep, go to that verse and say, well, you give your beloved sleep. Why is it that I'm not sleeping? It could be of two reasons. One, you're worried about the day to come or the things that are coming up, the bills that you have to pay, the people that you're going to have to get to maybe even reprimand or discipline if you happen to be a supervisor or whatever, but you're worried about the days to come. Or the Lord wants to call you into prayer. You can't sleep because the Lord wants you in his presence. I want to spend time with you, and this is the only time I've got. And if I don't give you sleep, maybe you'll come. But what do? We grab our phones. Oh, well, who's on Facebook this time? Or what's the latest news? Or what's the latest YouTube video? You see? We find all kinds of things to occupy our time rather than doing the things that we were made to do, and that is to humble ourselves and go before the Lord. Oh, we're all guilty. I'm guilty of this, absolutely. And I know better. It's in my mind. You know, I can't sleep. Well, maybe I should get up and pray. No. Let me try to turn over. Maybe I'm just uncomfortable, or, you know, maybe I just that, or something I ate, or something like that. No, the Lord wants to spend time. He died for us so that he would make the way for us to have fellowship with him. Oh, man, that's great. But we have to get it in our minds. We have to do the same things that Jesus did. Being in the form of a servant, in the form of man, in the fashion after a man, he humbled himself unto the cross, unto death. Now notice it says, obedient unto death. Notice the word obedient. A lot of people skip over that. Obedience. The Lord calls us to specific things. He calls us to do things, to be obedient. To what? To the Word. To the things that we read in the Word. That's why some people don't like the Word of God, because it convicts them of things that they're doing. And they think, well, I don't want to do that because I like doing this. And if I read this in the Word, that I'm not allowed to do that, or I shouldn't do that because this is holiness. And, well, I'm still clinging on to the old flesh. I'm not doing those things that the Lord has spoken to me to do. James writes and says, be ye doers of the Word, not just hearers. It's great to hear, but do. Be obedient to the Word. This is what Jesus did. He was not only obedient unto death. Now, when we talk about that, we says we've all been called to death, haven't we? When we accepted Jesus Christ, we died to our old life, and then we're resurrected once again. That's why we go through baptism, as an outward sign of an inward act that we have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, dying to the old nature and rising up again unto new life. That's what baptism is all about. It's a testimony. It's a way for you guys to witness this and come alongside to help a new believer. Encourage them to read the Word, to encourage them to pray, to spend time with the Lord, you see. If we're busy about doing those things, then we're going to start doing it ourselves as we see a new believer come and be baptized. I want to be baptized. Great. So now we can all, okay, get in the Word, start to pray, because we need to encourage this new believer. And on it goes, and on it goes, and on it goes. It's not just for one person. Oh, well, go talk to the pastor about that. No, it's not about that. You talk to them about that. That's why the Lord put it in your realm, so that you can answer their question. Why do hard questions come to us? Why do these things that, you know, these conundrums that we don't understand about the Word of God, why is it that they come to us? Why does the Lord let us know? Because He wants us to dig into the Word of God and find out, so that we can give an answer to those who ask these things. It's not that we just sit back and let somebody else do it. We can't get strong if we allow other people to do the work. That's not to say that everybody's called to be preachers or anything like that, but everybody is called to be a witness. And when we die to ourselves, then the new life rises up in us. Now, Jesus, He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what was the death of the cross? That was a pretty heinous death, yes. But the death of the cross meant that to go to the cross means that He would have the ability then, the justification, to forgive sins. And the enemy didn't want Him to do that. The enemy tried to stop Him every which way to stop Him from going to the cross. And we can look through the Gospels and we see time and time again how the enemy got in the way of trying to get Jesus to go to the cross. But it was inevitable. It was part of the plan. But He had the ability, the free will, to say, no, I'm going to do my own thing. But He didn't, you see. And this is why He did not sin, because He fulfilled all that the Father had given Him to do. He was the example. He was the sacrificial lamb. He was everything that the law had prophesied was going to happen. He fulfilled it. And He knew what His destiny was to do that. He looked at the cross and despised the shame of it all. To sit there and hang naked on a pole in front of everybody while they mocked and jeered at Him was not something to be desired. That wasn't the desirable thing. The idea was that He saw us at the end of it all. He looked at us and said, man, for them, I'll go through this. This is nothing compared to what you guys are to me. He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And so He was highly exalted after that. Okay? And this is how we know God, through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ spoke of the Father. And He told us about the Father. And so God then highly exalted Him and gave Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So you see that it wasn't that they were obedient to Paul. It was that they were obedient to the Word that they had heard. The Word that they had been studying. The Word that Paul taught them. He saw that, hey man, you know what? You know, this is what I'm doing. Follow after me. Follow my example. And so as they were doing that, they saw what Paul's example was. He was believing the word, and he was doing the word. It wasn't that Paul was telling them what to do. He was just giving them the word, and they obeyed. And as they were doing it in his presence, they were saying, oh, this is great. This is great. You guys got it. You're gonna make it after all. And so when Paul left and people came to check on him and see how they were doing, they reported back, they're still obeying the word. And Paul was rejoicing in this. And it's just so neat. Even as a parent, you know, you say, okay, I want you to do this, that, and the other thing. And you go away and you hope, oh, I hope they get this done. You know, I hate to come back and I have to punish them because they didn't get the thing done. And when they come back, they find that it's done and then some. And you go, wow, great. And you're just filled with pride for your children that they're obeying without having to be coerced or, you know, threatened with punishment, that kind of thing. But they're just doing it because of their love for you, you see. And then God, so even more so, when we're obedient to his word, man, he just loves that. And it's just like, man, this is great. And Paul was the same way. He was showing forth the heart of God. The heart of God was that he wants us to be obedient, just like Jesus was obedient. He didn't have to be coerced for the glory set before him. Well, he said, well, yeah, he had this glory set before him. What did it say in Ephesians? Huh? When we saw in Ephesians, it says, hey, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We are blessed with all of those things. We are fellow heirs with Christ. This is what we inherit, fellow heirs. Where Christ is ruling and reigning, we will rule and reign with Christ. These things have been set before us. This is the glory that was set before us as believers in Jesus Christ. This is our inheritance. This is what we're going to receive when we stand before the Lord. All of the things that Christ did, gets, we get. We are going to be co-heirs with Christ. Okay, so that glory that was set before Christ is now set before you. What then should we do? Hey, we're going to be obedient to the word. We're going to trust in the word more because this is our inheritance. And we want that full inheritance. We don't want to be penalized for half of an inheritance because we didn't believe this or that. And the whole aspect of that is that we lose out here in this world. We lose out by only believing bits and pieces of God's word. We pick and choose those things that we're going to believe and those things that we're not going to believe. The hard things, oh man, I don't know if I can believe that because I don't understand them. I read the scripture from cover to cover, and nowhere does it say, I want you to understand the word of God. It doesn't say that at all. What it does say, time and time and time and time again, is that I want you to obey the word. You don't necessarily have to understand it. I just want you to obey it. Because why? I said it. And I'm God, not me. But, you know, that's what the word is saying. He is God. And he wants you to obey just because he is God. And because he bought you with a great price. And so we reciprocate by obedience. And that's going to vary from person to person, how obedient we're going to be, how much we're going to trust in the Lord. As we read the word, he's going to bring to us some hard sayings. And we're going to have a little difficulty with these things because it means that my whole lifestyle is going to have to change because of something that you showed me in your word. Let the Lord show it. And then you start to pray about it. Lord, how do I make this happen? Now, the flip side of this verse is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. People get choked on that one. They stop and say, whoa, now I have to do something. Paul says here, work out your... So it's works, right? Salvation by works? Is that what it's saying? Read the next verse. Remember what I told you on Wednesday? Whenever you run across a verse and you think you understand it, read the verse before, or at least a couple of verses before, and at least a couple of the verses behind. Here's what it says. The next verse. See, Paul, you know, the Holy Spirit here, he's quick on these things. And this is the bad thing about these verses because they kind of cut things off in the middle of a thought. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you see yourself in there somewhere? Yes. It is God that is working in you. It's not you doing the work. The work that you're seeing is His work being formed in you as you're being transformed because you yield yourself to His working in you. As He shows you things in the Word, you agree that this needs to be worked out in my life. And then people start to see these things worked out in your life. They start to see the Holy Spirit transforming you. And you look at yourself and say, wow, these things are being worked out in me because people are telling me that. People that I've known for a long time are saying, man, there's something different about you. You're not the same as you were before. Your manner of life is different. You see, and in our society today, we bounce around from place to place to place, and we don't really get to know people very well. You know, as soon as we, you know, been at a place for a couple of years, we say, you know what, this place is, I'm going to go check out someplace else. And we're always the new person coming in and out. But nobody really knows us. Nobody has seen how we have grown. And so in this society today, we've really been detrimental in our, you know, fast and loose kind of a relationship kind of a thing. We don't want long-term relationships, especially our family. Our family is really the only ones that would be able to tell us that things have changed in our lives because they've known us from when we were little. But if we continue on in a fellowship, we're going to be able to see, man, I see how you've grown. I saw you were going through some hard times here, and yet you've come and you've been even a better believer than you were before. The love of Christ is really showing through in your life. And these are the things that we need to hear, to be encouraged by those who look upon us and see us. You see? That's what it's about. We need each other. We don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together because then we won't be seen. We won't see the things, whether we're sliding down or whether we're being built up. And that's what happens. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now, going to the verse before, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Ha! Now we know who's doing the work. So what's to deal with this fear? The reverential awe and the confidence that we have that God is going to do the work. He is God, the creator of heaven and earth. Yes, there's that song that we sing. I'm not really, you know, a big song person as far as doctrinal concerns, but it's a great song, don't get me wrong. I Can Only Imagine. You've heard that song, right? The Bible tells us what we're going to do, so we don't have to imagine, okay? When John saw the Lord, he fell on his face as a dead man. That, folks, is what you're going to do when you see the Lord, okay? So you can put that out of your mind. It's a great song, don't get me wrong. It's things that we would like to do, but this is what's going to happen. And you don't believe me? Ask Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord in chapter 6, he fell on his face as a dead man. In fact, the Spirit of the Lord had to pick him up out of the dirt because he was a dead man. Ezekiel, he had the same problem. So it goes on and on and on and on. Everybody that has ever seen a vision of the Lord, Moses. Moses was at a burning bush. Where was he at? He was on his face before the Lord. Get up, Moses. I want to talk to you. You see? This is what we're going to do when we finally meet the Lord. When you're talking about fear and trembling, man, that's what's going to happen. We are going to be standing in the we're going to be laying in the feet at the feet of the creator of the universe, God Almighty. There is no way that anybody's going to be standing, you know, unless the Lord picks them up. You see, that's where we're going to be. And then when He lifts us up, you see, that's a place of humility. Okay? The place of humility is on your face before the person before you. Whenever you see that in the movies and stuff like that, especially the old epics, you know, where, you know, they had the kings and stuff like that, and people would bow down and they'd be, you know, on their faces. You see, that was a place of humility. You're better than I am. I'm not even fit to stand in your presence. And it's the same thing we're going to see with the Lord. But He, unlike the kings of the earth, is going to lift us up. And He's going to strengthen us to stand. He's going to touch our lips so that we can speak. He's going to touch our hearts so that we can understand. And He's going to, and His joy is making us to understand His word. And we're going to spend eternity just going through and understanding and reading and trying to comprehend His word. This is glorious. This is our thing to do in this world. So when you get some free time, get into the word. It just a couple of verses near and there, and just lift it up to the Lord. Just make me to understand this. how does this fit with me? And this is how we understand prophecy. As we've been going through and picking out these verses, we've been seeing things that aren't readily available to the casual reader. Because we've looked and we're trying to say, there's something weird here. And I want to find it throughout the rest of the scripture. I want to find out what the answers are. Now, with all good textbooks, all the answers are in the back of the book, right? But if you don't know what the questions are, okay, the answers really don't mean anything. They're just random facts that are laid out there. But it's the Old Testament that asks the questions, that puts out the conundrums. And so that's why we go through the Old Testament, so that we can understand what he's trying to tell us in the New. It's as simple as that. So, enough with that one. So, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, this is our thing to do. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Oh man, if we could only get that one down, huh? Oh gosh, I wish I could get that one down. And that's why I have to go through all of these things until I learn. So, if you're having a struggle with these, that's why. Because you're not getting it the first time around. That's okay, there'll be more tests coming around the bend, so not to be worried. But murmurings and disputings are things that you think about when you think about the children of Israel going through the wilderness. When God went before them in the pillar of cloud by day to shield them from the sun beating down on them. And he was a fire by night to keep them warm during the evening. To let them know that, hey, I'm here. Oh yeah, let me just throw some bread down in the thing so you've got something to eat. You see? So he took care of all of their... Oh, thirsty? Moses, speak to that rock over there and water will come out. They had it all. You see? All of the provisions. And yet... they murmured and complained, well, this isn't what I expected. I wanted to. I did that. Murmuring. Disputings. Disputings? You're disputing with God? God doesn't know what he's doing? God, I don't think you know what you're doing here, because if I were running the show, I wouldn't be going through these hard times here. All of those evil people out there, they'd be wiped out. Yeah. Right on. That's why you're not God. That's why I'm not God. He has a plan and a purpose. And his word will tell you that even the evil, even evil people have their place and purpose in this life. If it's nothing else, is to show forth the patience of the saints. Those who commit heinous acts are for our patience. What? So we can develop a godly attitude toward these. For God would have none to perish. These are still people. Yes, misguided as they may be, self-centered as they may be, they are still God's creation, and he loves them. Yeah, we don't love them. In fact, we could probably say we hate them. But God loves them. And what he wants us to do is to emulate him. For God so loved the world. It's pretty simple. We hear that from the beginning. And it's great when we're the benefactors. But when we have to start doing the loving, that's when it starts to get a little pinching a little bit. That shoe is a little tight. I think I'm not sure I can walk in that one. You girls know what I'm talking about. Guys, we wear comfortable shoes, so you know this. But being transformed into his image takes hard circumstances. It takes the heinousness of a Hitler, where he destroyed so many people for world conquest or domination, whatever it was that he was after, you know? But where's our heart in these things? When you see people, you know, I mean, in the news, it just grieves you. And you just say, man, they should bring back the death penalty, public execution. Man, that'll really stop crime, won't it? Oh, it'll make those people come out and watch public execution. So, you know, they have some entertainment. Yeah, I thought this through. Yeah. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That's what the purpose and plan for all of these things are. That you may be blameless. That you may be harmless. harmless. Ah. Harmless, yeah, being in the fact that you don't threaten, that you don't pass yourself off as somebody, some formidable foe that you'd better not cross or you're going to get yours, kind of a thing. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You feel like that sometimes? You feel like you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? But do you shine? Does Christ come out? You know, in our hearts, in our thoughts. This is where the test is. In our own hearts and mind is where the Lord is working on us. When we see these things that really just makes us sick to our stomach, what's our heart like? You see, He makes us aware of these things to show us how far yet we have to go. How far yet the transformation needs to take place before we become the sons of God in the respect that people can see it. Because what's in our heart comes out of our mouth. It is reflected in our lives and our attitudes. And so the Lord wants to work on that heart. Allow Him to work. So when those feelings arise in you, confess them unto the Lord. And let Him transform you. Let Him replace what you feel, the hatred and the sickliness that you feel. Let Him replace it with His love. And then we'll be able to shine as lights. Because it's the Lord that's working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. I read that somewhere. I just read that, yeah. Holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. Not in fleshly tablets, but in the heart, where it matters, where it can be most seen. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. See, that's the thing. As you see other people going through hard times, and they just rejoice in the Lord, saying, the Lord is going to handle it. And it's great to do it on the back end, after the Lord has come through, and after the situation is resolved, and people have been saved, or whatever, and everything is all right with the world again. But when you're going through those dark and hard times, that's when the Lord starts to shine. That's when you start to lift up your praise, lift up your worship to God. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know these things are coming upon me. But I praise you. I trust in you. And I'm going to lift up my voice in song to you because I know that you're going to come through. And if I die, then I die. As Esther had said, if I perish, so that I perish. No problem. Because it's God who I serve. And I'm going to see Him on that day. And I don't think anybody, well, maybe we have. But, you know, I don't know that anybody's ever really faced that life and death situation like these guys are talking about. Did I forget to mention that these guys were suffering persecution? That these guys were being picked off one by one as people in their fellowship were disappearing left and right? And then being fed to the lions or in the Colosseums or things like that? This is the things that they were going for. And this is what Paul is saying, hey, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I was willing to give up my life so that I could encourage you. That's the hallmark of what Paul was doing. That's why he was so overjoyed, because they were still being obedient to the word of God, even though he wasn't there to spur them on to do so. They were able to do it on their own. The Lord had worked in them in such a way that they believed the word, and the word was having its effect. And vice versa. As they saw that Paul was going through these adverse circumstances, the joy that they had is they can be partakers by lifting him up in prayer. Oh, yeah, the Lord is so good. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. So there were a lot of people out there that were preaching the gospel, but they were doing it for their own gain, for their own purposes, to make a name for themselves. Remember we talked about earlier being, don't preach from strife or vainglory? There was a lot of people out there doing that, thinking that they had been called to do such a thing, and they would get out there and by any means necessary, they would try to get the gospel out. That is not how the Lord operates. If you ever have that evil thought in your head that, hey man, I need to reach the lost by any means necessary, it's not of the Lord. I can guarantee you that. What the Lord uses is His kindness. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. And if we are not showing forth the kindness of the Lord, if the transformation has not taken place in us, and that we cannot speak kindness, the goodness and the kindness of the Lord to people, then it's not going to be any good. Because the Lord convicts of sin. That's the disease that He came to cure, was the sin of disease, the disease of sin. And when the Holy Spirit convicts, then we can come by and give them the gospel because we have the heart to do so. And then when they're convicted of sin, they know who to go to, Jesus Christ, because they see Him alive in us. And once they see Him alive in us, then we can say that you have been saved from the judgment to come. All people of the world know that, hey man, I'm going to live for everything that there is now, because once you're dead, that's the end. What they don't realize is that there is a judgment going to happen. There is a judgment to come. And those that don't accept Jesus Christ are going to have their names blotted out of the book of life. And they will be forever separated from God, whom He has desired to bring forth. Now, that should spur us on to good works. Now, how does that work? What good works? Is that means that we need to examine ourselves, see where our heart is, and pray that the Lord would pour out His Holy Spirit in us so that we would be the example that He wants us to be, that we would be those lights, that we would be that witness, that we would be His witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection. Yeah, the resurrection. Jesus Christ alive in me. I'm no longer the person I was. I am now the person that God wants me to be. Perfect? No. On my way? Yes. And when I stand before Him, then all of the imperfections shall be laid aside. This corruptible must put on incorruption. Because when we stand before a holy God, no corruption will stand in His sight. Only those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ will be able to stand. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your love, for Your mercy. We pray, Father, that the words that we have heard, the words that we continue to read, that we would allow them to have that effect in our lives, that we would just be convicted of the sin that is before us, and Lord, that we would just desire to have fellowship with You in this world. So, Lord, I pray You would be glorified in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have communion now, and what I would like you to do is...